Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2,444, with a release date of Friday, August 30th, 2024. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The ARRL discloses its $1 million payout to hackers. Yoda Camp wraps up in the Czech Republic. And come along on the first-time activation of a POTUS site that's underwater. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2,444 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story takes us to Newington, Connecticut, where the ARRL now acknowledges that it resolved last spring's cyber hacking incident by paying a hefty ransom. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, brings us more details.
The ARRL has disclosed it agreed to a $1 million ransom payment to the hackers who disrupted its computers and servers on May 15th, stealing data and taking many of its services down. Writing on its webpage, the league described the attack as, quote, an act of organized crime, characterizing the initial demand payout as exorbitant in exchange for access to decryption tools. The ARRL said that the final amount was agreed upon only after extensive negotiation and that the sum and the price tag for restoring the systems is being covered by insurance. The ARRL said that although the hackers did not get any sensitive information from its members, it confirmed in July that the ransomware did access the personal data of an estimated 150 employees who have since been provided with free identity protection services. In July, the ARRL board created its Information Technology Advisory Committee. Members are being drawn from IT industry professionals, as well as those on the league staff and board who have experience in the field. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
As the summer wraps up in the Northern Hemisphere, so too does the Youngsters on the Air camp that took place in the Czech Republic. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has that story.
Camp has finished their week of immersion in amateur radio and friendship at the Youngsters on the Air camp on Friday the 23rd of August. Now all that's left is to remember the experience and to share it. Reese Williams, M0WGY/AJ6XD, who represented the Radio Society of Great Britain at the camp, wrote a daily blog that recounts such daily activities as kit building, balloon launching, and operation of the special call sign OL24 IOTA. If you weren't one of the campers, you can read the blog and experience that memorable week vicariously in words and pictures. Visit the link in the text version of this week's Newsline script. The camp was organised by the Czech Radio Club and the Youth Working Group of IARU Region 1. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In India, a missing man's family believed they'd never see him again until, one decade later, hams helped bring him home. We have those details from Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The headlines in local Indian media called the man dead for a decade, but the former mathematics teacher, said to be affected by mental illness, has been returned home to his father and other family members with the help of a network of amateur radio operators. Reports in the Times of India and the Deccan Herald said that area residents near the border of India and Bangladesh noticed a man standing by a large patch of wet soil, writing and solving mathematical problems there with a large stick. They told the newspapers that he seemed otherwise disoriented, which stirred their concern. The police were contacted, and wanting to expand the search for family members beyond the immediate area, authorities reached out to the West Bengal Radio Club, which is known for its success in missing persons cases because of its connections among radio operators in India. Ambarishnag Biswas, VU2JFA, the secretary of the radio club, told Newsline in a text message that he and club member Paramal Roy, VU3ZIM, were able to circulate photos of the man to clubs in the region. Ultimately, authorities were contacted by the man's father. According to the newspaper accounts, the man, who is now in his 40s, apparently developed mental problems more than a decade ago and disappeared, leaving his family to believe they would not see him alive again. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
During a moment of silence at the most recent board meeting of the ARRL, attendees paused to remember several silent keys from this year. One of them left her mark nationally as a tireless volunteer and radio enthusiast. We hear about her from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
This past winter, Amateur Radio Digital Communications announced that Pat Nelson, KE0QXD, had recently joined their Conduct Review Committee. Familiar with her tireless spirit, they were looking forward to working with her. That partnership never happened. Pat died suddenly a few days later on January 29th. The contributions she could have made would have been the latest in an amateur radio tenure marked by creativity and a capacity for giving and volunteering. In Minneapolis and St. Paul, Pat had a long association with KFAI Radio, a community broadcast station, as a host and a volunteer. A certified specialist in IT, she also assisted with programming and ran a company, Nelson Works LLC, which provided computer training and support. When she joined the station, she became friends with Mike Stapp, KE0WW, a longtime ham who introduced her to amateur radio. For Pat, that marked another beginning. She became licensed in 2018, and her commitment grew over the years. In 2022, she produced and hosted a special program on KFAI in honor of International Women's Day, focusing on women active in amateur radio. Pat also became a volunteer examiner at the Aurora Amateur Radio Group and served on its VE Advisory Board. She was a lifetime member of the OMIC Amateur Radio Association, an international group founded in 1952 by black radio amateurs, and she had previously served the association as secretary. In January 2023, Pat became the first guest speaker at the National Radio Astronomy Observatory Ham Radio Project in Virginia, led by Jesse Alexander, WB2IFS. Supported by the ARDC, the project familiarizes students with amateur radio and the electromagnetic spectrum. Pat was 68. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Things have changed since the early years when ham radio operators stepped up to offer their communication skills during emergencies. The ARRL's Amateur Radio Emergency Service, which began in 1935, is in the midst of bringing some of its protocols up to date. As we hear from Randy Sly, W4XJ.
The Amateur Radio Emergency Service, or ARES, is being brought into alignment with many of the agencies it serves by adopting the National Incident Management System's Incident Command System. This is an initiative of the ARRL to update the training of ARES members to better meet the needs of its partners. A statement by the ARRL reads, "This is a first step towards our long-term goal of being recognized by our served partner agencies as the gold standard of volunteer communication support, based upon ARES members' unique expertise and capabilities. The training has several levels and specialization areas to provide amateurs with a consistent track to advance their skills, as well as their understanding of emergency communications practices. The Incident Command System is used throughout government, non-governmental organizations, and the private sector to manage efficient deployment of assistance and cooperation at incidents such as severe weather or natural disasters." This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WW8GM repeater of the General Motors Amateur Radio Club in Detroit, Michigan, Saturdays at 9 p.m. local time. At a recent meeting of council members in one Mississippi municipality, a seasoned emergency communicator was honored with a few moments in the spotlight. We hear about him from Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
Tom Kelly, AB6Z of the Pearl River Emergency Amateur Radio League in Mississippi, was recognized at the top of the Picayune City Council agenda for his contribution to emergency services in the county. The retired Homeland Security professional, who has more than four decades in law enforcement, deploys communication assistance when it's needed by the fire and police chiefs. Tom described the league's plans and goals and explained the kind of training involved for league members who learn to dispatch and manage radio operators, deliver messages via radio, and read radar screens. Tom said the league is hoping to assist even more members in qualifying for their amateur radio licenses. in Picayune, Mississippi. This is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
You may not think of the electromagnetic spectrum as a museum exhibit, but one amateur radio club in Indiana put it on display and showed it in action at the Terre Haute Children's Museum recently. Andy Morrison, K9AEWM, tells us how it happened.
Laurel Tincher, program manager of the Terre Haute Children's Museum, called QRZ, in a manner of speaking, and the Wabash Valley Amateur Radio Association answered that call. She invited the club to present a day of ham-related activities to showcase the kinds of things amateur radio can do. According to club president Kevin Berlin, K9HX, 100 or so visitors on Saturday, the 24th of August, got that opportunity. They participated in a radio-related scavenger hunt and enjoyed activities that taught them a little more about Morse code. As the hams made QSOs on SSB using a remote-controlled HF station, the youngsters got a better understanding of what HF propagation can do. The visitors didn't just take away a better understanding of amateur radio. One lucky youngster won the random drawing for a small STEM robotics kit. According to Kevin, quite a few of them expressed an interest in working toward getting their license. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
A new type of transistor is in the works inside a U.S. campus laboratory. It is resilient and super fast, but for now, it's still a work in progress, as we hear from Cell MB, KB3TZD.
A new transistor in development inside a Massachusetts laboratory is said to be extremely tough and resilient, and offer super fast switching while meeting or even exceeding industry standards. Researchers at MIT first announced the transistor's development in 2021 when they published the results of their study, which explored the use of an ultra-thin ferroelectric material made from boron nitride. The report was carried in the journal Science. Researchers wrote only of the possibilities. Now it is a reality. Working inside the laboratory, the scientists created that faster, more energy-efficient transistor, and they claim that even after 100 billion switches, there are no signs of degradation. Researchers told Popular Mechanics magazine that for electronic devices such as computers, this eliminates the need for selective storage on a chip. Scientists also say that boron nitride has another advantage. It remains stable over long periods of time because its polarization can be reversed when there is an electric field. The next reality, actually manufacturing it, could be a lot tougher. Scientists acknowledge that despite the great gains in this development, they still don't have a way to mass produce it. This is Cell MB, KB3TZD.
In the world of DX, there are two opportunities to get the South Cook Islands in your log. Listen for Bob, ZL1RS, calling QRZ on E51EME from Rarotonga, IOTA number OC-013, from the 23rd of August through to the 15th of September. His operation is mainly 6-meter FT8 using ionospheric propagation. He will also operate 6-meter EME using the Q65-60A mode from WSJTX. See QRZ.com for QSL details. You can also listen for Tom N2WLG, who will be on the air with the call sign E51WLG from Rarotonga, IOTA number OC013, from the 1st through to the 8th of September. He will operate CW and digital modes on 40 through 10 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Listen for Giuseppe, IK5WWA, calling QRZ, as IM0C from San Pietro Island, IOTA number EU165, from the 1st through to the 15th of September on 40 through 2 meters, QSL via his home call. Harold, DF2WO, will be back in Burkina Faso, operating holiday style as XT2AW starting September 8th for about 14 days. Listen on 10 through 80 meters on single sideband and FT4. He will also be using the QO100 satellite. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Listen for the call sign TM40IPC from the 28th through to the 8th of September during the Paris Paralympic Games. The call sign is being operated by members of the Radiopole Associatif, REF40, F4KLM. QSL via F6DZU and Logbook of the World. Late last year, Parks on the Air, or POTA, added more parks in the U.S. In Indiana, this meant that suddenly a yellow dot appeared on the map just off the shore of Porter Beach in the Indiana Dunes State Park. While initially this looked like a mistake, it turned out to be the J.D. Marshall Nature Preserve, US 10256, the site of a Great Lakes cargo ship, which sunk in 1911. The park is completely underwater, accessible only by boat. Well, nothing excites a POTA activator more than seeing a zero in the number of activations field on the website. That's when Eric Kurtz, KE9AEB, chief of the Ogden Dunes Volunteer Fire Department, started calling his friends. Kurtz told Newsline, quote, "I ended up creating a POTA account and realized that the J.D. Marshall was the only park in the state of Indiana that had never been activated. Being a lakefront community and being involved with the Volunteer Fire Department, we're fortunate that some of our members are boat owners and some of our members are amateur radio licensees, and I put those pieces together so that we could activate the J.D. Marshall," end quote. So, Assistant Fire Chief Dave Zach, a marina and boat owner, took six hams and their gear out onto Lake Michigan on Saturday, August 24th, and moored above the wreck. I was one of those hams. The hams got right to it, and in the space of a little under 3 hours had logged 118 contacts, including France. Active calls included K9 ODF, that's the fire department club call, as well as the personal calls of N9 ITB and WD9 GCO. Chris Latimer, N9 MMR, a member of the fire department and a founding member of the club, called it an amazing opportunity to be out on Lake Michigan operating an HF station from a boat. His son Tavis, KD9 NSC, communications officer for the fire department, assembled the gear, tested everything beforehand, and handled contact logging. Two others on board were Tommy Stesich, KE2CCX, and Jack Albert, N9 ITB, an experienced activator and my POTA buddy. The group was awarded credit for the first activation of the park. And their very first contact? Well, it was a ham from New York with the call KD2GUT. That's right, our own Karen Eve Murray. Congratulations to all involved for an activation that went beyond expectations. Amateur radio is a varied hobby, and as we often say, whatever floats your boat is fine. Don't forget the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge if you're not too busy tuning your antennas or chasing the latest de-expedition. Pick up a pencil and share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that are not written in traditional haiku form. Share with the fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Weekly, Amateur Radio Digital Communications, Ambarish Nag Biswa, VU2JFA, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, David Behar, K7DB, the Deccan Herald, 425 DX News, Jesse Alexander, WB2IFS, Kevin Berlin, K9HX, Picayune Item, QRZ.com, Radio Society of Great Britain, shortwaveradio.de, The Times of India, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024. All rights reserved.